chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. It's good to see you tonight. I appreciate you coming out on this rainy night tonight. As Brother Ken said this morning, I know a lot of you drove a long way, and I appreciate it with all my heart, you supporting the house of God tonight. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Talking about the prophets of Baal. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the man of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? Heavenly Father, Lord, I bow before you just now, Lord, with a thankful heart, God, that I'm saved. Lord, I thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord, towards mankind, that you gave you life for us, Lord, that we might have life, Lord, and forgiveness of sin. Lord, would you bless these people that come this way tonight? We're poor and we're needy. God, help us, Lord, to hear from heaven tonight. God, I pray for your anointing, Lord. I pray, God, you'd bless the reading of the Word and the preaching of the Word. God, I pray for your preachers everywhere tonight. God, that's still standing in the old paths and preaching the truth. God, would you touch them and help them, Lord? God, would you help the hearers of the Word tonight, Lord? We need you, Lord, in our country, Lord. We need you in our homes, God. And Lord, we need you in our heart tonight, Lord. And God, I trust you, Lord, with everything tonight. Help me now, Lord, and I'll give you all the glory and all the praise. For I ask you blessings in Jesus' sweet and holy name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Down in verse number 7, the Bible says this. The journey is too great for thee. I want to preach with this thought in mind tonight. Lord, I can't make it without you. Lord, I can't make it without you. And I want to tell you something tonight. You can't make it tonight without the Lord either. I tell you, friend, today we need Him more than we ever had. We live in perilous times. We live in dark times today, and we need the Lord down at the church house. We need the Lord up yonder at the White House. And listen, friend, we need the Lord down at our house tonight more than we ever have. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. This man Elijah right here was a great man of God. Listen, he got his life in a mess right here. He needed the Lord, and the Lord told him right here, the journey is too great for thee. Oh, listen, friend, if there's anything that we better be a-seeking in the day that we live, listen, bro, we need the Lord. We need His presence. We need His power. Friend, we need Him. We need Him pushing us through this life in the old paths, in the old ways, in the paths that He would direct us to be in, friend. We need the Lord today. Elijah was a great man of God. But look at the mess he got himself in right here. I'll move quickly into the message tonight. I want you to look at Elijah's warfare on this journey right here.
Well, listen, friend, his record. His record. You know we all got a record. Do you realize tonight God's keeping a record on every one of us tonight? One of these days we'll stand before Him and He'll reveal things to us that we done forgot about. No, listen, friend, I got a bad memory. I don't remember a lot of the things that I done in my past and in last week and even this day, friend. But listen, God is keeping a record of it all. But listen, oh Elijah right here, he jumps onto the pages of your Bible back in chapter number 17 as a prophet of the Lord, and he has a good record. He's a man that listened to the Word of God. He wasn't disobedient to the Word of God. He followed God and everything that God told him to do. He was obedient to the Word of God, and he was a courageous man. Wish I could say that. Wish I could say that I'd done everything that the Lord had ever challenged me to do. I wish I could say that I was obedient every time the Holy Ghost ever nudged me. I wish I could say that I was that kind of man, but I can't say that tonight. But Elijah, he was that kind of a man, friend. He took the Word of God, he preached it, he practiced it, and he provided it for all the people. It didn't matter to him. You'll find he went before old King Ahab. Ahab was one of the wickedest rulers that ever walked the face of the earth. But he went right before him and told him gun barrel straight, "Thus saith the Word of God." And I admire a man that'll still do that today. No matter who's in the audience, it'll stand up and preach the Word of God without holding back, without compromising anything. I admire a man that'll still do that. That was the kind of record that Elijah had. He was a true man of God. But you'll find in chapter number 17, he was a tested man of God. God put him to some tests right here so that he could see what he was made out of. God knows what we're made out of. He'll put us to the test sometime so we'll realize what we're made out of. Oh, listen to me, friend. He was tested. He was tried. God tried him. He tried him. He tried him. And God's going to try you at times. He's going to try your faith at times. So we'll see what kind of person we are, how weak we are, how frail we are, and how much we need Him. We do need the Lord. Oh, he was tested. He was tried. But I find right here in this passage in chapter 19, he was tired. You ever get tired? Maybe I'll say tarred. There's a difference in tired and tarred. When you're tarred, you just give out, ain't you? Amen. Well, that was one of his problems right here. He was tired. He just come off of Mount Carmel over there where he slew 450 prophets of Baal. Well, where he prayed, and he seemed like a man standing all by himself over there against Ahab, against Jezebel, all the prophets of Baal, and he stood with God, and God stood with him. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice upon the altar over there. But now, what in the world has happened to Elijah? His record. Well, he had a great record. Now he's tired. Look at his resources. If you look back at his life, look at his resources. What kind of resources do we have in our Christian walk? We've got the Word of God. We've got the church house here. We come to church to get fed. We come to church to draw strength, to worship God, to meet with Him and to learn and get strengthened to go out, don't we? Ahab had a resource in his life. Same thing that Brother Adam taught about this morning. Prayer. 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 One of the greatest resources of the early church you'll find in the Bible, in the Word of God, was prayer. That was one of their great strengths. One of our great failures in the day that we live in is a failure to pray. Hey, we're just like the Bible says, the church of Laodicea, we have need of nothing. Nothing. We just want to look religious on Sunday mornings, don't we? Well, listen to me, friend. We need to pray. Brother Adam, I appreciate the Word this morning. It challenged my heart. Now, I promise you today, I'm going to try my best to pray more and pray earnestly when I pray. We pray too many little canned prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. We got a CD in our mind. We pray the same old thing over and over again. And when we get through praying, we don't even know what we've prayed about. Well, we need to be more specific when we pray. Listen, we need praying people. You hear me? We need some people that will commit themselves to pray Pray, pray. We've got camp meeting coming up. Hey, you remember in the past how the devil has attacked us at camp meeting? The devil is attacking this church on a daily basis, friend. We ought to be a praying for our church, praying for our pastor. Friend, this is the Lord's house, and He set us in this thing right here. We're to care for it. Hey, listen, we're to stand for it. We're to defend this place. And it's something that every born-again Christian can do is pray. Pray. Power in prayer. You say, well, Elijah was a man of God. Well, James says he was a man of like passions, just like you and me. Just like you and just like me. But he prayed. But he prayed. Listen, friend, you try praying and see what God will do in your life. Pray, friend, till the light breaks through. Pray till you get an answer. Don't pray on your terms. Pray on God's terms. Thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Commune with Him. Oh, listen to me, friend. His resources. He was a man of prayer. And he realized he was a man with a partner. Hey, God was his great resource. And his communion with God was prayer. That was his power. That was his lifeline to that source of power in his life. Too many times we're defeated as Christians because we don't use that power. We don't use that lifeline to God. We don't pray and we wonder, what in the world? How come our lives is in such a mess? Failure to pray. Oh, Elijah's warfare. We all got a battle to fight. We're all on this journey. And let me tell you, the journey is too great for us. We need God's help as we go this way, friend. And Elijah sets a good example for us here. Hey, listen, we need to be praying for Holy Ghost power to rest upon us to guide us through this life. His record, his resource, but his reality. He just come through a great victory, didn't he? Over at Mount Carmel. Can I tell you something that's a reality tonight? You wrought a great victory in the Lord. When you come through a great victory, hey, listen, the battle ain't over with. The battle ain't over with. You may win a battle, friend, but the devil, he's going to counterattack you. And that's exactly what he does right here to Elijah, friend. Hey, there was a great, great victory that's been preached about for thousands of years right here, friend, but there's a great lesson for us to learn. The devil don't give up easy. But one of these days, he'll be cast into the lake of fire and it'll all be done for him. It'll all be over, friend. We'll never have to battle the demons of hell again. Oh, listen now. Elijah's reality. His reality. You find him right here. He got a word, didn't he? Jezebel sent a messenger. The devil ever told you anything? Huh? He's good at whispering things in you to depress you. He's good at speaking in your ears things to discourage you. Anybody ever been disappointed in here? Anybody ever been disappointed with somebody? Anybody ever been disappointed with herself? Oh, yeah. Yeah, amen. We're good at getting down, ain't we? Amen. And the devil is good at putting us down, and we're good at letting him have his way in our life. And Elijah right here, friend, Jezebel sent this messenger, friend. And look, the Bible says in verse 3, he saw that. She said, I'm going to kill you. By this time tomorrow, you're a dead man. And the Bible says when he saw that, well, what happened? He saw it in his mind, didn't he? He could see himself a dead man. And he just wrought the greatest victory, one of the greatest victories that you will find in the Word of God. And he listened to it. You ain't got to listen to the devil, friend. Listen, if the devil starts telling you these negative things, if he gets you discouraged, listen, if he gets you in a deep depression, friend, pray. Pray. Oh, listen, we don't have to be in that kind of condition. His reality. Look at verse number 10 right here. Verse number 10 says, and he said, Elijah speaking, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like Monday morning for a preacher. Yeah, man. You preachers know what I'm talking about. When you stand behind this pulpit right here and you studied a week on a message and you do the best you can to deliver it, friend, and listen, friend, and on the next day after you've done it, hey, the devil shows up. He'll tell you everything in the world, how you messed up, how you made a mistake. The people don't like you. They don't like your preaching. Your preaching stinks. You stink. Hey, you might as well just leave. That's him. That's him, ain't it? He's a liar. He's a liar. Whoa. His reality is our reality too. We're easily discouraged. We're easily depressed. This great man of God, you think if this great man of God experienced depression, don't you realize that me and you can too? We can. We can get depressed and discouraged. And let me tell you something, friend. You can get to where you want to throw in the towel. You'll want to quit. What's the use? And boy, the devil, he's a laughing. He's a having a heyday in your mind and in your heart, friend. If he can get you to quit, then he's got victory over you. You want to quit? You want to throw in the towel now? After what the Lord's done for you, saving you, giving His life for you, putting food on your table and a roof over your head, all that He's done, it ain't no time to throw in the towel. No time. His record, His resource, His reality, but He's running. This great man of God stood on Mount Carmel against all the prophets of Baal. And the people wouldn't even answer him. Listen what he asked them over there in verse 18. He said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. He didn't have nobody with him. Nobody. But he had guts. He had courage. He had a great victory over there. But now he's running from a woman, from a Jezebel. A Jezebel. Jezebel. Oh, listen, friend. You better realize there'll be some Jezebels and some Ahabs to come your way. The devil's got plenty of them out there to attack you, to put you on the run. Notice this. Listen now. Let me ask you this before I move to my next point. What's your record? What's our record look like? Are you using your resources? Or are you on the run tonight? You know, you can come to church. You can fill the pew. And you can be on the run. Running from God. Running from a walk with God. Running from the closeness that He desires to have. Running from your prayer life. Running, running, running. The devil, he'll let you come to church. If you'll just keep your mouth shut and not worship, not pray. Oh, he loves religious people. He's got a world full of them today. But then, secondly, Elijah's wilderness in the journey. Notice this, friend, his neglect. He neglected his power. He neglected to pray. You notice right here, friend, when this Jezebel sent a messenger to him, told him that she's fixing to kill him, and he saw that. Why didn't he pray? Why don't you pray? When the devil attacks your mind with negative things, friend, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? You know, God never speaks to a child of God in a negative way. He's positive to us. Listen, friend, when the devil speaks to you, you haven't got to run. You've got Jesus, hey, on the right hand of the Father, friend, making intercession for you. Hey, there's an open line to heaven between us and Him, friend. We can call upon His name. The Bible says He's given us a throne of grace, and there, friend, we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. We're needy. We needy. Well, listen, we can't make it without Him. We need the Lord in our life.
these perilous times that we live. Well, I find in on this wilderness journey, he took off into the wilderness, going over there to hide. And he neglected his greatest resource, the power, the prayer life he had, the promises that he had. His neglect, but notice this, friend. His needs. As I said, we're needy. In verses 4 through 6, it says he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Said, "It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's." As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." Listen, friend, I'm glad that God can put a juniper tree in your life. He was running away from God, but he came to rest under a juniper tree, and it was there that God met with him and met his needs that day. Can I tell you something? Liberty Baptist Church could be your juniper tree tonight. You may have come in here tonight on the run from the devil, from the things of the devil. You may be depressed. You may be discouraged. You might need heaven's help tonight, friend. Hey, listen, just rest under your juniper tree here a little bit and listen to the Word of God. Let God feed your soul just like He did this prophet right here that was weary, that was tired, that was running. Put him to sleep there. He was tired. He put him to sleep. I'm glad you can find rest at the house of God. I'm glad you can come to the house of God and leave your troubles out yonder. Hey, you ain't got to bring them in here, will you? They'll be out there when you go back out. Make them wait on you. Come in here and get you some help for your life. Then when you go back out and face your troubles, you can handle it a little better. But he laid down there. He slept under the juniper tree. And an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." Listen, friend. Isn't it wonderful that God didn't give him what he wanted, but he gave him what he needed? I find something amazing about this story right here. Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you, boy. You're a dead man." He started running for his life. And then when he got over there in the wilderness, he said, "Now, Lord, you kill me." Hey, listen, friend. The devil can drive you crazy. He can drive you crazy if you let him. He'll drive you plumb nutty. He got over there, friend, and he needed physical rest and he needed spiritual revival. You realize every time we come to church, we need a spiritual revival? We need revival every day in our lives. I don't know about you, but I do. It don't take me long to get cold and indifferent. I need God every day of my life. I need revival every day of my life. I need to feed off the Word of God every day of my life. You'll notice that the Lord put by him right there, friend, a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. I'm glad Jesus is my bread of life tonight. I'm glad I can feed off the bread of life. Anytime I get hungry, anytime I get thirsty, I can get me a drink of the water of life, friend. It satisfies my thirsting and hungering soul. I'm glad tonight for the Word of God. I'm glad for the Lord of this Bible right here. What He does for me in my life. Oh, listen to me. I hope you don't get that low in life. But we all go through troubles. Nobody's exempt from getting in the same place that Elijah was in. Wanting to throw in the towel, wanting to give up. Devil ever told you you'd be better off if you was just dead? Sure he has. Sure he has. That's him. But listen, friend, when God gets ready for you to go home, He'll come get you. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. Thank God for a juniper tree. Place we can get some help. Ain't you glad you got a church you can go to? Ain't you glad you got a Bible? Ain't you glad you can pray? And know there's a God in heaven that hears prayer. You hadn't got to go to the priest somewhere. You ain't got to go to the Pope. We've got a high priest. And he listens when we pray. And if we'll confess our sins, friend, if we'll confess our sins, friend, there's nothing that can block our avenue of prayer to heaven. We can get a prayer through. Listen, the devil may tell you that God ain't hearing your prayers, that God ain't answering your prayers. It might be that you ain't praying right. A lot of times we give up on prayer because God don't answer on our timetable. Boy, I've seen God do things that's just amazing in my life. I know He hears and answers prayer. I know it, no doubt about it in my mind. And I thank Him that He cares that much for His children. His neglect, His needs in this wilderness journey, His news in this wilderness journey. The news He got, friend, was the journey's too great for thee. That's the news I want to deliver to you tonight. You see, when he awoke there and the angel touched him the first time, he said, "Arise and eat." And the Bible says he did eat and drink and he laid him down again. That's like us, ain't it? Boy, it takes a lot to wake us up. It takes a lot to stir us. That's why we need to come to the house of God as often as we possibly can. God has got something here to feed you. And we need spiritual food for our lives. We get enough junk in the world. That's why we get weak in our spiritual life, in our spiritual being. We get weak because we're not fed right. We're feeding off of the hog slop of the world. The spiritual man gets weak, weak, weak. But he told him the second time. The angel came the second time, touched him, said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." But I find it amazing still what he did. He didn't return and go back over there where he's supposed to be working. But he turns and runs off to a cave. He arose, he did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days, 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. A little bit of word to go a long ways. But listen, yesterday's meat, it'll only take you so far. We need fresh meat today, don't we? We need to hear some fresh things from the Word of God today. Notice, friend, this. Thirdly, Elijah's weakness on the journey. Verse number 8, he went in the strength of that meat. Then the Bible says in verse 9, he came thither unto a cave. He decided, well, what I need to do is just change places. This juniper tree ain't working no more. I'm going somewhere else. But he found the darkness of a cave. Listen, I want to show you something in the book of Psalms right here. Anybody ever thought of running away from God? The devil ever told you, well, you don't need to be down there at Liberty Baptist Church. You need to go find you somewhere else. He'll tell you that. He loves to get you out of here. He loves to knock people out of church. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a thief. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to break your home up. He wants to see your kids go to hell. No wonder he wants to get you out of Liberty Baptist Church, a church that's still preaching the truth. It's got a pastor that'll stand up and shoot gun barrel straight and tell you what thus saith the Word of God. No wonder he'd try to drag you out of this place. So he decides, well, I'm going to a cave. So he runs off over there to the cave. But I like what the psalmist said in Psalms 139 in verse 7. He says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." You can't run from God. You can get out of the will of God.
He may have to jerk a knot in you one of these days and get you straightened out. And you better believe if you're a child of God, He'll do that thing. He'll burden you about your sins and about your rebellion, friend. He'll burden you about it. He'll burden you about it. And He'll burden you about it. And if you don't straighten up, He'll bury you about it. We're a child of God. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. You better believe He chastises those that belong to Him. He knows just exactly how to get you. Elijah's weakness on the journey, he decided he'd change places. Secondly, he was consumed with self-pity. Anybody ever feel like poor old me? Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I can tell by looking at you. Sometimes you come in and your chin bumps every step out yonder coming up. Poor old me. Nobody got it no worse than me. Oh, look at poor old me. Somebody pray for me. God help us. God help us. Notice what he said in verse 14. Back in 1 Kings here. 1 Kings. He says this. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You notice I repeated what he done said up in verse 10. Now, when he got over there to that cave, the Lord came to him and he had a question for him. He said, what are you doing over here, Elijah? Can I ask you something tonight? If you're running from the Lord, if you're not where the Lord wants you to be in your spiritual life, can I ask you what you're doing in that kind of condition? What's wrong with you? We've had some of the best preaching behind this stand right here that's ever been in this country. We ought to be spiritual giants. What in the world are you doing depressed, down at the mouth, and defeated? What in the world are you doing in that kind of condition? What God said to him. After all the Lord had done for him, he fed him over there by the brook Cherith. He let the widow's barrel over there. He kept food filled in that thing 3.5 years of drought. Let him go into that widow's son and raise him from the dead. Went over there to Mount Carmel. Nobody standing with him, but God stood with him. And he defeated the prophets of Baal over. Has God done anything for you? Has he done anything for you? Has he saved you from hell? Can you lay your head down tonight and realize that when the Lord saved you, friend, he delivered you from hell and damnation? What more could we ask of him? We're a bunch of whiny, spoiled brats is what we are. We ought to come to church with thanksgiving in our hearts and praise in our hands. God's been so good to us. On the worst day of our life, friend, we're blessed. If I go to the doctor tomorrow and he tells me you got cancer, you ain't got but 2 days to live, friend, I can lift my hand towards heaven and say I'm blessed because I'm saved. We ain't got nothing to hang our head about tonight. God's been good to all of us. He was consumed with pity. God told him, get out of the cave there. You know the story there. There was a great wind. There was an earthquake. There was fire. Then there was a small, still voice. A small, still voice. How's your spiritual hearing tonight? God speaking to you in a small, still voice. Too often, we want Him to shake things, don't we? Oh, we'd love to see fire fall from heaven. But you know how God's going to speak to you and me? He's going to speak to us in that small, still voice, just like He did Elijah. And you better be listening when He speaks.
You better listen up to the Word of God. He was in a changed place there by his own choosing. He was consumed with pity. I'm talking about his weakness now. And then the challenge that was presented. God asked him twice. He asked him twice, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" He wasn't where he's supposed to be. And that brings me to my last point, folks. Elijah's work on the journey. There was still something for him to do. Can I tell you? Hey, y'all breathing tonight? Y'all still got a heartbeat in your chest? Can I tell you something? God ain't through with you. Can I tell you the Lord's still got something for you to do? You may think you can do nothing, but God's still got you living and breathing here. It's good air for a reason. There's still a work for us to do at Liberty Baptist Church. Listen, friend. We can come to the church house and we can lift up the name of Jesus. We can praise Him. We can worship Him. We can set an example to lost people, to these young people over here. We can show them how to worship. We ought not to be a bunch of dead Christians. We ought to be alive. We ought to be lively and worshiping our God and giving Him thanksgiving and giving Him praise for what He's done for us. Listen, the Bible says, I'm talking about Elijah's work on the journey. Philippians 1 and 6 says that he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He ain't through with you if you're still breathing. He's still wanting to perform a good work in you. In Romans 11 and 29, the Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God ain't going to take His hand off of you. He's got a purpose for you. If God's called you to do something, you ain't going to wake up tomorrow and God say, "Well, I changed my mind." He's got something for you to be doing. Notice in verse 15, he was called to return. After he whined in verse 14, making excuses, verse 15 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return." Good advice for all of us. You may have walked away from the Lord. You may have walked away from God's purpose for you in life, trying to get away from it. But God's saying to you, you better return. You better get back over there. Get to doing your work. I'm talking about Elijah's work on the journey. Not only was there a call to return, but there was a call of his replacement. You hear me well now? You want to throw in the towel on God? You better hope He don't throw in the towel on you. Because He told Elijah, He said, "I want you to go over there." And listen, let's just read it right here. The Lord said, "Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." You know what? You can walk out these doors on God, and He ain't gonna sit up in heaven wringing His hands. You know He can fill your spot before your seat turns cold. He's able. Now, Elijah, he's got to go over there and anoint another prophet in his stead, in his room. And then there was another revelation, a cutting revelation right here. You remember old Elijah said, "I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left, Lord." But God told him, He said, "I've got 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which has not kissed Him." You ain't the only one. Turn around there and tell your neighbor, you ain't the only one. Thank God there's still some left wanting to serve the Lord. Can I back up just a minute? Something I want you to see. I skipped over it when I was talking about Elijah's running. I want you to notice this right here. in verse number 3. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. You know, if you decide to run, them folks that's been looking at you, them folks that's been admiring you as a Christian, they may get left behind. Listen, you see all these young folks over here? Listen, adults, mamas and dads, all these young people over here watching us. I don't want to leave none of them behind. I don't want to run out on God. I don't want to be a failure. Do you? But can I tell you something? We can't make it without the Lord. Can I tell you something else? He can make it just fine without you and without me. But we need Him. Amen. Stand with us.